Good morning and welcome to Welton's Go Live Sunday service. We're glad you can be with us today.
We are going to be worshipping together. Matt Coombs is going to be sharing the word, and we hope that you connect with God this morning.
We hope you experience his presence and hear his voice wherever you are. Enjoy the service with us.
We are really passionate about connecting as God's people with God himself and with one another, whether that's on Zoom, in person, FaceTime, going out for a walk, or in our homes. One of the many groups that's not stopped meeting during lockdown is our Connect group, and here's Becca to tell us a little bit more.
Connect is the 17 to 24s group at Welton. We meet on Zoom every other Saturday evening for about an hour, and we chat and catch up and play a few games, quizzes, that sort of thing. The vision is that we can grow friendships and support each other throughout the things going on in our lives. We have just started a new term, and we would love it if there was anyone else that wanted to join. So if you think it's for you, get in touch.
I'm not a big fan of cameras, and so you can imagine lockdown has been a bit of a double whammy for me. I so miss being with my church family in person, and I really don't like being in photos. And you can ask Liz, at our wedding, there's about three photos that I chose to be in, and I look grumpy in, I think, two out of those three. This is Emily's camera and has an autofocus system, pretty much like most cameras do these days. And autofocus is great, isn't it, on here, but not so much in life, I think especially now with the things that we're facing. We've got to think about where we're focusing, or we can get it wrong if we just leave it to whatever grabs our attention. So how about us as a church? Where are we focusing? Where should we be focusing in the next few months? How about you as an individual? How's your focus at the moment? What about the people that you'll chat to in the next few days? Is it on what we can't do? Or is it on what we can do? Or actually, is it on what God can do? All three of those things are important and they have their place. I think it's the order that's challenged me in recent weeks. Where am I focusing? And actually, it's the order that I believe the enemy wants to mix up in our minds right now as believers. You know, yes, we need to know what we can't do, and observing the guidelines and the rules, provided they don't contradict scripture, is absolutely right. And we're doing that, and we've got to keep on doing that. Being creative about what we can do is also really good. It's the right thing to do, whether that's Sundays on YouTube, in our Welton communities, Alpha, Welton at Home support, Enfest boxes to doorsteps, our amazing house groups, youth and kids groups that are meeting online. And just as importantly, all of the non-programmed things that we do to love each other and build each other up and to grow our faith in God. But how about what God can do? The God who's seen multiple pandemics, wars, and times when his followers have been locked down one way or another. The God who says this in John 10, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." I feel so convicted about us getting the focus here right as we think about these next few months, as we talk with others and those around us, as we make choices. What's the focus? Are we doing these things in faith or in fear? I think the answer to that question will largely depend on where our focus is. What's right in the middle of the picture? What if you and I, what if we as a church were to start with what God can do, and then what we can do, and then what we can't do? Because like I've said, all are important, all of them are needed. But when we start with what God can do, with who he is, what he's already done, it's then that we get free from fear. We can face these weeks ahead with this confidence, this grounded confidence. God is with us, and he's going to use us to show his love and his mercy and his justice, his kindness to those around us. I want to lovingly challenge, encourage you. Just check your focus. Have you been on autofocus a little bit, latching on to whatever appears to be the biggest in the viewfinder at that moment? Do you need to step back and focus on who God is? I'm needing to do this more regularly than ever, and it's good. I love it. We have an opportunity now as we worship to put God right at the center, to make him and who he is and what he's done our focus. Let's pray together. Lord, now more than ever, we need to be aware of the enemy's plans to get us focusing in the wrong places and to resist him. He wants us to start somewhere other than you. And Lord, we don't want to live in fear, but we want to live in faith. So would you help us? Help us even now as we worship, as we pray. Help us to focus on who you are, what you've done at the cross in securing us eternal life, and the truth that we live in this knowledge now, that we are forgiven and we're free, that we're secure in you. So Lord Jesus, we just pray by your Spirit, would you help us to choose to focus on you now. Lead us, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Things move on so quickly, don't they? Next week we'll be starting a new series looking at the book of Acts. So there's a bit of me that should be saying, get a head start, get reading this week. But I have a feeling there will be one or two people who, a bit like me, are full of good intentions. And when at the beginning of this month you heard the recommendation to read the book of Nehemiah, you thought, what a great idea, I can do that. And now, all of a sudden, it's 4 weeks later. You've heard some great stuff from Dave, Matt and Jeremy, but you've still not read it for yourself. So here's a challenge right up front for this week. Make some time to read this book. Try to do it in one sitting. Try to put yourself into the story. Who would you be? How would you have responded if you'd been there? As you read it, get a feel of the big picture. This precious place, more than just a bunch of ruins, it's a spiritual home lying destroyed, and with it, the identity of the people of God is in tatters. 1,000 miles away, with no great draw to go back, people have moved on with their lives. Their significance as people of God has been diluted. This is exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted when he destroyed Jerusalem and took the people away to Babylon. Get a hold for yourself the deep-seated passion which Nehemiah has for his God and his people, which is stirred and brought to the surface as he reflects on the physical desolation of Jerusalem and the despondency of the people. Let's read Nehemiah's opening to his prayer right at the start of this book in light of all of this. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Get this from the start. This is going to be a faith-filled adventure. Nehemiah is saying, God, despite everything I see which could make me doubt it, in spite of all the bad news and the way I'm implicated in it, you love me. You love those people around me, and you are God of everything. So much greater than the stuff going on around me now. More awesome than the powers that seek to control. What a faith-filled way to approach God. This could be a really difficult prayer for many of us to say today. When we hear the news, when everything's changing from one day to the next, fear for our own health and the people we love. Maybe for us to say it right now takes a load of faith. God, you are still God of heaven, the great and awesome God. You keep your covenant of love with me. So read this book again, because it's not a bit of fiction, just a good story. It's a part of our history as followers of Jesus, part of how we came to be here. Real people who don't know how everything is going to turn out as they begin working together. We're going to spend some time focusing on how we can celebrate God well. And it really helps to already have a feeling for everything that had happened and what the people had been living through in order to begin the celebrations which comes towards the end of this book of Nehemiah. Perhaps now more than ever, it's a good time to be reflecting on the importance of gathering together. Please don't hear this as me trying to persuade anyone to attend Welton Communities. This is about however we gather together, YouTube, Zoom, or in person. I'm in the slightly unenviable position of speaking a week before we're planning to gather together again. I'm really hopeful we're going to be able to, but there's also a possibility that at any moment guidance could change and we won't. But even if it doesn't happen next week, we will meet soon and the principles all still stand. So, here's a few things which, if we really get hold of, could make a huge difference as we go forward. Let's begin by remembering who it's all about. It's so easy to rock up for any gathered worship with a head full of our own issues and our own preferences. This includes when we watch online. I'm still tired from last night. I don't like this song. The prayers are too long. The kids are bored. The music's too loud. The music's too quiet. The biscuits are soft. That's your own fault if you're watching at home. I don't like the preacher. No one welcomed me. This isn't an excuse for not doing things well, but when we gather, even as we sit watching this, who is it all about? The Israelites understood who they were worshipping. In Nehemiah chapters 8 and 9, just a few days after their incredible wall building project had been completed, it's the first month of the new year. And in this month, there are three celebrations, each one drawing attention to different aspects of relationship with God, all of them relevant to all of us. The first day of this new year was the Feast of Trumpets, no sound effects. It's commemorated with, you've guessed it, trumpet blasts and offerings to God. It was all about worship. Everyone gathered together, thousands of them, outside in the open, old, young, families, everyone. Imagine what it was like. If you've ever been to New Wine Spring Harvest, Big Church Day, or any of those big events, there's often this real sense of oneness as everyone gathers together with a common purpose, to worship. As Israel come to celebrate, they've built this platform so everyone can see who's speaking. There's a will and an enthusiasm among the people. They tell Ezra, bring out the book, which sounds like something from a game show, but I think that was Bring on the Wall. Bring out the book. We get to see just how precious God's word is. It had been neglected and they can't wait to hear it read to them. But they don't just want to hear it. They want to engage with what's going on. Ezra opens up the book of the law and they all get up on their feet. They want to be involved. Verse 6 says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Every time we come to worship, we get a choice. It's God we should be celebrating. It's up to each one of us how we approach it, whether we are ready to engage, how we get involved and how we respond. Let's remember who it's all about. As we read on through chapter 8, there's a great rediscovery. Verses 13 and 14 say, on the second day of the month, the heads of all the families, along with the priests and the Levites, gathered round Ezra, the teacher of the law, to give attention to the words of the law. They found written in this law, which the Lord had commanded through Moses, that the Israelites were to live in temporary shelters during the festival of the seventh month. Now, I know not everyone enjoys camping, but get this, they've just read about this festival and they are going to enjoy it. They go out into the countryside, bringing back branches and all kinds of greenery to make shelters. They set them up on rooftops, in courtyards, all over the place. It's a great picture, everyone making their shelters. I would love to have been there. It reminds me again of some of those big events, the buzz of all camping out, everyone together. Verse 17 says, the whole company that had returned from exile built temporary shelters and lived in them. From the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this. And their joy was very great. Wow, when we celebrate God, we get to enjoy it. I love how creative this celebration is. It's so important that we enjoy celebrating God. This festival of tents had been started as a reminder of God looking after their ancestors as they had journeyed through the wilderness and slept in shelters. It's an exuberant way of remembering all that God has done, and it builds faith in God for the future. Let's enjoy celebrating all that God has done and continues to do. I sent an email a couple of weeks back asking anyone for a few lines saying, "What is God doing through you?" It's not too late to send me something, but here's a few of the good things which God has been doing recently.
I have been so encouraged that one person has since joined a house group following on from the Alpha course. A relative of mine in America joined in with the MFest on YouTube. I suffer from anxiety, some days badly, some days hardly at all. When lockdown happened, I went into panic mode. My ectopic heartbeats returned. I felt fear going to work. I was scared for my family. I didn't know how I was going to get by without going to church. I prayed a lot. After 2 weeks, God said, "Look what I can do." Since early April, I have not had any ectopic heartbeats. I have not had a single day of anxiety. I have had lots of special quality time with friends and church family, meeting them for walks, going for coffee, having dinner, etc. I have got to know more people from church. My prayer life has massively improved. I have almost read the whole Bible. I have been a part of 3 Alpha courses, and it goes on. I've started to support a new venture in Kenya. We have helped over 500 girls so far. 2 of us are starting to meet with a friend to do the prayer course. She did the Alpha with Welton in lockdown.
I really love those stories. Thanks for sending them in to me. It's so good to hear what God is doing, and it's not too late. I would really love it if you could email me something God's been doing in your life. Why don't you do it today? Do it straight after we finish this morning, before it's too late, before you move on to something else. Share it with someone you're with. Now, this third celebration in the new year was all about God's forgiveness. It's the Day of Atonement. If you've got some time, why don't you get onto Google, have a look where the word scapegoat comes from. You'll find it started back in the Bible in the book of Leviticus with a Day of Atonement, and it looked forward to Jesus. This day celebrates our sin being taken for us. It's the most central part of our celebrating God together. We get to come clean with God. If you've known Jesus for some time, there's this sort of danger that the truth moves from heart knowledge to being a head knowledge. It's one of the reasons why communion is so important for us. Jesus suffered and died for the things we do which hurt God, which hurt other people, and which hurt ourselves. What Jesus has done for us is something always worthy of celebration. When we have complete confidence we are forgiven, that we are good enough to worship, that God does welcome us, that has to make a big difference to the way we celebrate him. In chapter 9, after coming clean with God, confessing their sin, they are ready to praise again. And if you're looking for a short overview of the Old Testament, there is this amazing psalm-like prayer, which starts in verse 5 and looks back through Israel's history. It repeatedly testifies to all that God has done. And you remember Nehemiah's opening prayer I mentioned, which was full of faith and confidence in God. It appears here again as the people look ahead again. Verse 32 says, "Now therefore, our God, the great God, mighty and awesome, who keeps his covenant of love." This is an incredible prayer that doesn't only look back. Here, right in the middle of it, we find a great lesson in celebrating God well. Having declared all that God has done, the people say, "In view of this, we are making a binding agreement, putting it in writing, and our leaders, our Levites, and our priests are affixing their seals to it." They are ready to apply truth to their lives. They agree together to follow through with everything God is calling them to do. When we celebrate together, we're not only looking back, we're asking God to keep on working in us, through us, looking ahead. I said earlier that now is a good time to reflect on the importance of meeting together. If you feel you've lost your enthusiasm, The last chapter of Nehemiah gives us a good reminder of what can happen when we find seemingly plausible reasons to stop meeting. Nehemiah spent 12 years on his work in Jerusalem, and he returns home to Susa to report to the king. It's not clear how long it is before his next visit to Jerusalem, but when he arrives back there again, things have taken a turn for the worse. Despite all of the optimism, even a covenant with God, they'd not followed through from their good intentions. They'd removed the priority to worship, to celebrate God together, in favour of going out to work, to get on with more important things. They've made space in the temple for someone to live in rather than to store the offerings which were needed for worship. I guess it seemed a much better option to use the space. It's easy to read with a slight sense of disbelief that this could happen, but it doesn't sound so different to the temptations we face. There can easily be a question in our minds whether there is something more productive we could be doing with our time or something else we could be putting our resources into. We're all capable of losing our way a bit when it comes to celebrating God. The celebrations that we read in Nehemiah are a brilliant reminder of how to celebrate well. I think that now of all times we have an opportunity to really kickstart the way we celebrate God together, however it is that we are meeting. Psalm 23:5 says, "You prepare a feast in the presence of my enemies." That verse rings so true right now. Not that people are our enemies, but the circumstances we currently find ourselves in are hostile. As friends, family, work colleagues spend time with us, do they see celebration in our lives because of the assurance we have in God? Psalm 23 reminds us that God doesn't take us out of the situation. He sits us down in the midst of it, and he invites us to eat with him. That is worth celebrating.
Next Sunday, that's the 4th of October, 10:30 a.m. If all goes according to plan and there's no changes between now and then, we're going to be meeting as a church in four different communities for an hour of worship, fellowship, prayer and teaching. Next week, we're also going to be taking communion together and right at the centre of that time. If you're not connected with one of these yet, we'd love to send you an invitation. Just email us before Wednesday and we'll get in touch. There's also going to be a Go Live Sunday on YouTube next week with worship and teaching for those that aren't able to get along to a community just yet. So, just before we finish, a few things to say about Welton communities for those who are thinking through where you're going to be this time next week and maybe in weeks to come. First of all, and this is important, there's no pressure at all. Whether we're together in person or watching online, we're one church family. So let's not give the enemy any space at all to cause division. We're one family meeting in different ways. Next, they're going to be safe. We've put a lot of effort into ensuring that each venue is the right size and is COVID secure. Risk assessments have been thorough, and we're going to be making sure that everybody sticks to the guidelines so that we're free, so that we're really free to worship and to enjoy being together. They're temporary. Doesn't sound too exciting, does it? But it's an important one to say. You know, we're really committed to being one church, and these are a great step towards that space when we're together as one. So keep in mind, we're not a church that's all about the Sunday morning. We're as committed to our house groups and our midweek groups as we are to those times on Sundays. Lastly, they're going to be great. How do I know? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Because Jesus said, "Where two or three of you gather in my name, I'm there among you." And because we're made for relationship, and this is a step towards us being connected in person with Christ as the head. If you've got any questions at all, Matt and myself, who co-lead the church, would love to hear from you. And we're keen to be extra available this week. If there's anything about Welton communities that you'd like to chat through, please do get in touch. For now, if you're a guest to Welton Baptist Church, we'd love 10 minutes of your time. We've got a Zoom chat room. The link's going to appear in the YouTube chat bar now, and we'll be there in a few minutes. Let me encourage you, don't live on autofocus this week. Start with who God is, what he can do, what he's done, and what he wants to do. Or as Jesus far more eloquently said, seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be given to you as well. God bless.